The effects of climate change on Florida are likely to include rising sea levels and increased frequency and intensity of hurricanes. These will all increase the future risk of flooding around the Tampa Bay region's low-lying geography. To get ideas about how to mitigate and adapt to a flood-prone future, planners and engineers have begun a dialogue with a country that has a history of overcoming similar challenges. 55% of land in the Netherlands is below sea level, and the northern European country has more than 250 miles of coastline. For centuries, the Dutch have planned ahead to protect low-lying areas and even reclaim land from the sea. On Friday at the University of South Florida, the Kieran C. Patel Center for Global Solutions hosted a seminar, The Dutch Approach to Climate Change, a Dialogue with Tampa Bay. USF Associate Vice President of Strategic Planning, Graham Tobin, calls it not only academically stimulating, but of course profoundly important for society at large.
I would argue that is how we respond to the environmental challenges, how we respond now, that is going to dictate, of course, what happens to us in the future and in the coming years. Of course, in responding to sea level changes, the Netherlands is way ahead of most nations. You have a long history of implementing engineering structures to combat the vicissitudes of nature. Indeed, the very survival of your nation, much of your nation, depends on the continued protection offered by such works.
The Netherlands has built a series of dikes, or levees, to hold back the sea, as well as some hard structures that can be opened and closed as needed. That includes a structure protecting the city of Rotterdam, which has the second largest port in the world. Ivo Demmers is director of business development with the Netherlands Water Partnership.
There was a need to let the ships be able to keep that river as a channel of transportation. So it had to be a movable barrier. They made up four proposals of different kind of doors, of different kind of floating barriers, or in any way movable barriers, which will only be closed in a case of an high tide. And in the 10 years of the existence of that flood barrier, it happened only once when it was needed. That was 2 years ago.
Several presenters stressed that any solutions to protect Florida from the effects of climate change must have a comprehensive planning component and a cultural awareness of potential hazards. Demmers suggests that Floridians might want to re-examine how much construction we allow on our beaches.
One of the first ways of protecting is by the beaches. And we in Netherlands, we learned to find a way of tourism integrating with the role of beaches in the protection of the hinterland. And there is, it should be an interaction to build hard structures in sandy beaches could be dangerous for the protection role of a beach. So you should take a look, a close look at where you build your, for instance, your hotels or parking.
Sean College is an executive planner with the Hillsborough Planning Commission. He hopes to learn more about how Dutch engineering has held back the sea. College says it's important for Florida to consider all solutions.
As sea level rise begins to occur, we are a very low-lying community, and we are going to have to look at, as storms cause more destruction or more cost to our area and to our structures, there are going to be decisions that are going to be made in the future as to whether we need to coastally armor some of these areas or not. You know, if you look at the history of some developments, such as New Orleans, they have a history of coastal destruction. What happens is you build berms, you build levees, and these types of things. And I think as this is something that definitely has to be considered in the Florida and Tampa Bay area.
In the aftermath of 2005's Hurricane Katrina, levees failed, flooding parts of New Orleans. Many engineers and environmentalists suggest that some energy from the storm's surge could have been reduced if miles of wetlands had not been destroyed before the hurricane. Linda Matthews is the Netherlands Water Partnership liaison officer to Florida. As an alternative to only constructing levees, Matthews advocates a concept called building with nature.
It's using natural features such as marshlands, barrier islands, chenilles, coastal ridges, maritime, you know, recreating maritime forests to slow down the storm surge and attenuate the wave energy associated with these tropical storms and hurricanes that we have over here.
One thing the Dutch have done is to learn to live with water. For example, in floodplains, building houses that can float and reintroducing water into cityscapes. Erica Williams, a master's student in the School of Architecture and Community Design at USF, says that Florida cities such as Key West could consider a similar approach.
Since it is going to be one of the first areas to be inundated with water, how we can start implementing pile dwellings, floating house construction, starting to look at marine culture and aquaculture development so we can start cultivating food and start kind of harvesting water as its new source for living.
Availability of drinking water is also a concern for a future affected by climate change, according to Southwest Florida Water Management District Senior Planner Jason Mickle. Climate change could affect the region's water supply because of changes in precipitation and through sea level rise affecting their facilities and increasing saltwater intrusion.
Overpumping can cause saltwater intrusion just by the sheer volume, and also sea level rise. Well, now you have a higher sea level, which impacts the aquifer also. So once that saltwater gets into the aquifer, that zone that it has penetrated is no longer available to fresh water. So it takes away our potential freshwater supplies. So it's very important to monitor that closely.
You can find links to more information about climate change and the organizations mentioned in this report on our website, wmnf.org/news. For WMNF News, I'm Sean Canaan.